Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
A month or so ago, a couple months ago. And so we got a lot, we're adding a lot of new stuff to it, a lot of new content every week, every day. So keep checking it out, keep asking questions, but it's a free site where you can go and heal the pain that you have when you have a question that you can't get answered anywhere else. You can't find it on Google. You don't know who else to ask. Well, guess what? AskJim.biz is a place to go. No barrier to entry. I don't need to know your email address. You don't have to sign in. You can send me all that if you want. I'd love to hear from you, but you don't have to. You can very quietly go get educated, get smarter at AskJim.biz. I hope you use that to your advantage. John Miller is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. John is the founder of QBQ Incorporated, which is an organizational development firm dedicated to making personal accountability a core value for companies and individuals. He's the author of QBQ, The Question Behind the Question, which you and I have talked about, you've heard us talk about before. And he's got a new book out called Flipping the Switch, which is QBQ on steroids. Right, John?
That's exactly right. We're going to break the home run record with it.
Exactly. John Miller, ladies and gentlemen. John, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Always glad to be here to talk about accountability, something near and dear to my heart.
Tell us about what QBQ and accountability have to do with each other.
Well, actually, they're very much connected because QBQ is the way to practice accountability. It is the methodology, Jim. It's the tool that helps us get there. It's easy to say, you know, you should be accountable, but most people don't really know how to do that each day, every day, in the moment. And so when I created this concept of the question behind the question, that's what the QBQ stands for, the question behind the question, it suddenly became a way for people to get rid of blame and get rid of victim thinking, get rid of procrastination, and rise above and start practicing responsibility and accountability and ownership, all those terms we throw around nowadays. But QBQ is a way of doing it, and I've been working on this idea since 1994, and now all I do is crisscross the country and talk about it to mostly corporate groups.
Give us an idea of how QBQ works.
Well, instead of asking questions like, why do we have to go through all this change? Why can't I find good people? When am I going to get more support? Who made the mistake? We teach people to take those questions, which bring us down to levels like blame, victim thinking, procrastination, turn them around and construct them so they begin with a what and a how, or a how, what or how. We contain the word I, personal pronoun I in it. We put the I in it. Focus it on action. So instead of asking, why can't I get good people, which many small business owners ask, why not ask, well, what can I do today to develop the ones I have? How can I be a better coach for the people on my team? The latter is no blame. The former, why can't I get good people, is really just a form of blame and victim thinking.
John, when in The Road Less Traveled by Scott Peck, M. Scott Peck, I learned from him that, and I'm sort of taking what he said to a global level. He basically said there are two kinds of people in the world: those who are neurotic and those who have character disorders. He said, as a psychologist, he could always help the neurotics because they would focus their problems on themselves. They would say, why am I this way? You know, it must be something I'm doing wrong. The person with character disorder was never like that. They were always blaming the others. They would never be introspective. So here's my question. Aren't certain people more likely to be good at QBQ than others?
Yes, I do believe that. The way we were raised.
And shouldn't we be hiring those kinds of people?
Yes, we should be actually screening for accountability and ownership in the interview process. And I know it sounds like I'm touting a book here, but I'm going to tell your audience right now, I have some clients that actually give candidates the QBQ book. It's an easy read, or Flipping the Switch. They're easy reads. They take about an hour. And on the first interview, if they want that person back, they'll say, here, read this book, come back to me in a week, and tell me what you learned. And when they come back, if they say anything like, well, you know, I don't buy into this, or it doesn't apply to me, blah, 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 then they probably are a person who are going to externalize, Jim. When we externalize, we blame the world.
Mm-hmm.
But if that candidate comes back and
says... That's a character disorder.
It's a character disorder, I suppose. But if that candidate comes back and says, here's why I believe in this, let me give you some examples of how I've lived this life. You know, last time the ball was dropped, I didn't blame. I said, well, what can I do to help solve
or,
the problem?
Or what if they came back, John, and said, you know what? I didn't realize it, but I learned that some ways to be a little more introspective and maybe solve my own problems. In other words, maybe they didn't brag on how well they were already doing it. They just recognized that they had a ways to go.
Jim, you're always a step ahead of me. That's an excellent point. They might actually come back and say, wow, I learned. I learned about how to be more accountable. This is the life I want. And the key to bringing a person on like that is you've already set the tone. You've already said, hey, if you're going to work here, we're not a company of blamers and whiners. We are people who individually say, how can I help solve the problem? What can I do to support the team? So that's a great way to screen people for accountability. And you're right. Some people are better at it than others, but I believe everybody can be trained, but you have to have a fertile mind. You have to have an open mind.
Mm-hmm. And ladies and gentlemen, in our small businesses, we have, as you heard me say many times before, too many hats to wear and not enough heads to put them on. I believe, John, that small business owners have got to be trying to find the right heads and people who take accountability, who take responsibility, people who look inward, who are introspective, you know, not hopelessly neurotic and you know unproductive, but people who are capable of looking at themselves. Those are the heads we need to be hiring.
Excellent point. I love that. Too many hats to wear and not enough heads to put them on.
It's a fact. It's not genius. I mean, that's just what we see out there. Now, John, they don't call me the king of Segway for nothing. Folks, when we come back, we're going to take a break in a few seconds. When we come back, we're going to flip the switch and go from and take QBQ to the next level. And that's the title of John's new book, Flipping the Switch, Unleashing the Power of Personal Accountability Using QBQ. John, tell us where your book's available, please.
QBQ.com, Amazon.com, and Barnes & Noble and Borders, all the retailers.
You can, and also JimBlessingGame.com and SmallBusinessAdvocate.com. We've got John's books on our website, too, because we recommend them. 20 after, I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with our good friend John Miller.
Pearson Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac.
With our good friend John Miller. He's the author of QBQ, The Question Behind the Question. And his new book is called Flipping the Switch, and it's QBQ on steroids. John.
Yeah.
When I read QBQ, I said, you know, what else could there be to say about this issue? You've captured everything, the essence of everything, QBQ, and yet you come up with another way to talk about it.
Yes, we have.
And it's called Flipping the Switch. So flip the switch on our QBQ and tell us where we need to go now.
Well, what this really is all about is just like when we turn on a switch on the wall and it unleashes power. When we use QBQ, it unleashes the power of personal accountability. And it brings to life other principles. And so what we've done in this book is we've listed or talked about or discussed 5 very key life principles that come to life when we flip the switch, i.e., when we use QBQ and start asking those better questions. And those principles are learning, service, trust, creativity, and ownership. And when we flip the switch by using the QBQ, we can bring those to life. So an example would be instead of saying, when is someone going to train me? When am I going to get more coaching? Why won't my manager support me? That takes us away from learning because all we're doing is playing victim. So in the learning section, we work on ideas. We share stories of people who have flipped the switch by saying, well, what can I do to develop myself? How can I become excellent today? What can I do in my job today to be a better servant? You know, just how can I focus on me and taking ownership for that learning process? So, you know, learning is one of those core principles that, you know, you find, and Jim, you know this because you talk to a lot of people, the learner is the one who just keeps staying with that open mind and never gets to that level of arrogance. And I've got a favorite phrase, if you think you've arrived, if I think I've arrived, I've got one word for both of us, Titanic.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you think about the night of the Titanic, that's where human arrogance met the unknown.
Exactly.
Yeah, and people, you and me, we meet the unknown every day. So if we get arrogant, we're going to sink. So learning's all about asking, what can I do to improve me today?
Those topics that you just mentioned, those categories, which I like a lot, learning and creativity and ownership and service and trust, I like the way you've got those in order. But if I were talking to small business owners, I would tell them to put trust first.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. Because all of our people aren't going to be inclined to learn, to be creative, to provide service unless they feel that they are in an environment where there's trust. So I think you've got it in the right order for individuals, but from the standpoint of applying it to the people who these people work for, I would say put trust first. What do you think?
I think that we had to choose an order, and if you
No. I'm not saying your order is wrong.
No. I'm not being defensive. I'm joking with you. I'm thinking if you'd written the book, you would have put trust first, but I wrote it.
No.
Sorry, Jim.
No, exactly. No. I like your order.
No, that's
but
fine.
But I'm just saying you wrote this book for individuals.
I wrote this book for anybody, but I know what you're getting at because a lot of the small business owners don't take the time to build trust because usually they're too busy doing the job. They're too busy still making the sales. They're too busy solving all the problems. They're too busy fixing stuff. And, you know, getting their attention is a hard job by the employees and spending time with that owner because, you know, that owner, he's busy, got to solve the world's problems. And he's not taking the time probably to invest in his people, to take the time to talk to his people, take the time to go be with his people. Trust is critical. And here's a key point. Trust takes time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my favorite analogies is if you get on an elevator, we all know if you're going to ride 20 floors, you're probably not going to talk to those people. But if that elevator freezes between the 11th and the 12th floor and hangs there for 3 hours, guess what?
You got some new friends.
You've got some new friends. You're going to come off that elevator buddies, and you'll probably exchange email addresses.
Forever.
It's only for one reason. You were in a situation together with a similar goal, and you had to spend time together. And when I work with small business owners, I say, take the time to be with your people.
One of the things that this environment of trust, and I'm so proud of you for including that in one of the pillars of this program that you've got, because it's so important. One of the things that I think is critical in the 21st century in 21st century management is redemption. And if you want people to flip the switch and take personal accountability and to be asking the right QBQQ questions, then they've got to believe that if they mess up, that you're not going to fire them, you're going to redeem them.
Have you ever heard this phrase, Jim? Firings will continue until morale improves.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the old way of doing things. Now,
I think
we've gotten a little liberal with some of our policies and management over the years because back in the 50s and 60s, it was my way or the highway. Then the whole concept of empowerment came out, and everybody's talking empowerment. There's probably a middle ground somewhere between the whole, hey, I'm the boss mentality and letting people make their own decisions.
And I think that middle ground is trust.
That's
both
probably
ways.
True.
Both ways.
I think one of the key points we make in flipping the switch, Jim, is what I call the softball analogy. You know, if you're on a softball team...
Quickly.
Okay, go ahead. I won't have time for it.
Well, I tell you, will you hold that thought?
The switch.
Because we're going to let you back on the show another time since you did such a good job and you laughed at my jokes, John. That's always a good sign.
I always laugh at you, Jim. Sometimes I laugh with you.
I know. QBQ, ladies and gentlemen, John G. Miller and Flipping the Switch, available wherever books are sold. Thanks, John. See you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Quick break. Right back with Michelle Goodman. Stay with me.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba?
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.